Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Today's Bible reading comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 15 to 22. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up his place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man.
Thank you, Kelly. Let us pray. Father, this morning we come before you, Father. We come before you ready to hear from you. Quiet our minds, quiet our hearts before you this morning, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us. We thank you that you have a message for us this morning. We thank you that you're going to speak to each and every one of us this morning in Jesus' name. And all the mighty saints say, amen. Today we're starting our new series, and it's called How to Make. Everyone say, How to Make.
How to Make.
Okay, and so there is this deep longing in each and every one of us to create, to build, to make things of something, right? Especially meaningful things, especially for our lives, right? This is a reflection of our Creator's image. This is a reflection of God the Creator, right? From the very beginning, God embedded in humanity, in every single person, this unique gift of creativity and the ability to make, shape, and transform the world around us, right? And so to make something is not just for artists, right? It's not just for the painters. It's not just for music producers, but it's for everyone. Each and every one of us are called to create. How to make is reminding ourselves of the original intention of God. And then evaluating what it is that we're making. Looking at what it is that we're making and asking ourselves, is what we're making good? Is what we're making honoring God? Is it pointing to Jesus, right? So I hope you're ready to learn how to make with faith, how to make with passion, how to make with the guidance of God's word, and discover how our lives can become these vessels of purpose, these vessels of hope and transformation, okay? So the title of my message today is Created to Workship, okay? Everyone say, workship. Some of you looking like, worship? Is that a real name, Henry? Is that a real word? Yes, it is, okay? So I'm sure we've all heard the phrase, worship is a lifestyle, right? We've heard that at some point. Worship is a lifestyle. But what about this? Have you heard of this? Work is a lifestyle. Work is a lifestyle. You know, work is something that each and every one of us have been given the opportunity to do, right? To engage with daily, whether it's a job, whether it's taking care of our homes or our families, it's pursuing our passion, right? Or learning in the education area for our youth and students in here, okay? And so work is a big part of our lives, right? Work is a big part of our lives. And so the way that we approach work can be deeply influenced by the different sources in our life. So they can be our family and friends, can be our circle of influences. It can be even our own experiences, how we think and see work, right? And these sources can each have either positive or negative you know, effects or consequences. But there's one source that we need to follow as a believer of Jesus, as a follower of Jesus. There's one source that we need to work from, and that's the Word of God. That's the Bible. That's our guide. That's our source document, if you want, right? And so to get to the original intention of work, we need to go back to where it all started. And where does it all begin? In Genesis, okay? Imagine going back to the very beginning when the world was unformed, where it's desolate, it's dark. God was there, right? Because it says in Genesis 1, verses 1 to 2, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So God was there. Even in this chaotic, dark moment, God's Spirit was there. And so He created everything above and everything below. I like what the Message translation says. It says this, that earth was a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. Right? You think of the description there, right? Nothingness, emptiness. It's this chaotic, formless nothingness. The Hebrew word for without form and void is this word, tohu vavohu, right? Tohu vavohu. Yeah, does it sound like Tongan or something? No, it's not. It's Greek, okay? So everyone say that, tohu vavohu. Yes. And so this word, it suggests the state of chaos, the state of emptiness, the state of darkness and disorder. And so in the context of Genesis 2, it's describing the earth as it was before God does His thing, before God creates and brings structure and order. So according to the Bible, Adam and Eve, humanity was given a specific task, right? A task to take care of the world, to make it better, to look after it. The task is a divine calling given by God, to reflect God's character, to represent God to all of other creation, right? Think of it like this. Have you ever used someone else's stuff, right? Say like a lawnmower or something, right? You know? And you know, when you ask for something, right? Hopefully you think about, okay, when I use this, I want to make sure I give it back in exactly the same state or even a better condition, right? That's your intention, right? Hopefully, right? Because like, let's say if I was to borrow, say, Jerry's lawnmower, okay? If I was to borrow Jerry's lawnmower, right? He gave it to me in this immaculate-looking condition, right? It's so shiny. It's so good-looking. You know, you could eat like a steak meal off it. It's so clear, so clean. Right? I'm telling you, Jerry's like that. His stuff looked real good, his stuff. Okay? But then, what if I returned it to him and it looked like this? Right? It's broken. It's dirty. It's, maybe I didn't even take the grass out of the catcher. Right? Stuff's falling off of it. Do you think that incident would affect our relationship? Yeah? Yeah, hey. Jerry will probably take the lawnmower and mow my head or something, right? 2x4 my head. But, you know, the point is this. I took responsibility of the lawnmower, right? I was given the task of using it and caring for it, but I didn't care for it. I didn't look after it. I didn't have the sense of ownership, right? For whatever reason, maybe because, oh, it's only Jerry's, but that's a problem, right? Because it's been entrusted to me, right? In the Garden of Eden, Adam was given the responsibility from God to work it and keep it. God had given Adam the purpose to work it and keep it. And the work that Adam was given by God, it wasn't burdensome. It wasn't hard work. It wasn't difficult. The work that God gave Adam was different. The work was worship. It was worship to God. And this brings us to our first thing here this morning, okay? Worship is our vocation. Worship is our vocation. Our vocation refers to our calling, our purpose, right? Our occupation or the work that we do. So it involves our jobs, it involves our professions, right? The daily tasks that we engage with, that we engage in, whether to earn a living or contribute to society. That is our vocation. And so this is how God intended for us to worship Him in our vocation, in our work. That whatever we do with our minds and our hands, that we would be doing it unto God. That we would be doing it because, not of the reason of like, oh man, but I get a paycheck for this. I get to live I get to buy stuff with this. Hopefully the intention that we see is that we get to do this because we've been created by God. God created us to do this. This is the purpose why God made us the way we are. And so if we remind ourselves of that purpose, then hopefully that'll keep us in line and running towards what God has for us. And so what does this look like? What does worship in our vocation look like? Well, it involves seeing our daily work, and whatever that may be, seeing the stuff we do in our home, seeing the stuff that we do in our classrooms. Yes, young people, you're doing work as well. Yeah. The stuff that we do in our community, doing those things, doing those tasks with a clear understanding that why we do them. And it's for the primary purpose of devotion and honor for God. Right? Now, I will have to confess, okay, that there are times that I get a bit sidetracked, right? Like a lot of us do. And I'm sure this doesn't happen to anybody in here, but like social media, right? And no one here has any problems with social media? Just me, right? You know you're there. You're on your phone, right? You just say, oh, just 5 minutes. I'll have a look. 10 minutes later, 1 hour later, 4 hours later. And I'm wondering, where did my time go? You're scrolling through everything, right? Being on social media, watching movies, playing sport, training. There's nothing bad with these things. The danger is when these things become idols in our life, right? Now, an idol is anything that takes the rightful position of God, the rightful priority of God in our own life. And an idol will eventually convince us that we need it, that we need this thing, whatever it is, we need it to feel this particular way, that we need this particular function, this particular tool or smart new phone. We need it in our lives to be able to look a certain way, right? If we're relying on anything else other than God to affirm and confirm us, that can be a very unhealthy and dangerous place to be in. Because all we see then is just the doing of that task. But we don't know, we've forgotten who gave it, who created that, right? So if I can talk to our young people in here, because, you know, usually I'm always talking to the older people in here. You know, so mature people in here, okay? So students, young people, people are studying, right? Do you see your work as a student, as a worship to God? I see grace and praises are laughing at you. Do you see your work as a student as worship to God? Now, I know that it can be hard sometimes because I've heard from my kids, oh, Dad, it's the teacher, right? Or it's the environment. It's the people that are in the class. Yeah, yes, it may be. But you can make a choice. As a student sitting in that room, you can make a choice. that whatever may be happening around you, right? Yes, you can't control it. But what you can control is how you will respond to it, right? And it may look like something like this, right? There's maybe chaos that may be happening in your room, and it may just mean, oh, you just got to put your head down and do your work. Not get distracted by what's happening around you. It may look like you maybe helping out a friend in the classroom, right? They may need some help with a question or something like that. That's your opportunity to help that person. Or it may look like you having to relocate yourself in their classroom to another desk so that you can do what you need to do, right? Young people, don't underestimate where and what God may want to do in and through you, right? Don't underestimate what God and where God may want to do through you in your classroom, right? These little God-honoring moments, these God-honoring choices that you can make in that classroom, they can be like planting seeds into your friend's life, planting seeds of what it could look like to care for someone, what it can look like to be kind to someone, what it can look like to show love to someone. You can be that good representation of God even in your school life, even in your classroom. You know, don't think that, oh, yeah, I see God on Sunday. That's enough. God's calling us, even us parents, every person in here, to be aware that wherever we go, that God is with us, that God is wanting to work through us, show himself through us, through the way that we talk, the way that we act. He wants to point people to himself. So I hope, young people, that if you're sitting in here and you know you call yourself a follower of Jesus, that you will recognize, that you'll be aware that, okay, wherever you go, God's with me, right? When you're in your classroom, God is with you. When you're on that sports field, God is with you. When you're sitting down with your friends, having a talk, having a, you know, eating food, whatever it is, that God is with you. And hopefully you'll see that if you have that, if you remember that, then maybe hopefully that'll encourage you to walk different, talk different, be different from everyone else. And that can be hard. That'll take a certain kind of faith to do, to walk out, to be bold, to be courageous. But it's not to say that you can't. You just need to trust in God that, hey, that doesn't sound right. Hey, that doesn't look right. And then will you speak? Will you say something? Will you do something to change that environment, to transform that environment that you're in right there and then? Is that all right? But if you're a young person in here, and or anybody in here, and you don't see your work as a worship to God, can I encourage us with this? In Colossians 3, 23 to 24, says, whatever you do, everyone say, whatever you do, work heartily. Yes, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Everyone say, serving. So whatever you do, whether you're in the classroom, whether you're on the sports field, whether you're with hanging out with your friends at a local mall, whatever, do you see that as worship to God? Do you see that as you representing God in that moment? How you speak, how you respond, how you conduct yourself. Do you see that as you reflecting, as an opportunity to reflect God in that moment? That is an opportunity for each and every one of us to worship God in that moment. Because I know it can be hard. It can be hard to remind ourselves, to remember that, oh man, I'm supposed to live this lifestyle of worship. You know, how does that really look like? We have this intentionality within us, this awareness of us that God is with us. Hopefully that'll, hey, set something off. Hopefully that'll remind us, okay, God, you're calling me to walk this way and not necessarily this way. God, you want me to live this particular way and not this way. How does that look like in my life? And so it's not, there isn't like, you know, one way to do it. Because each and every one of us are on this journey towards God. God is speaking to each and every one of us on this journey. And so how we will begin to unpack that, how we will begin to understand that, how we begin to see that is dependent on how much you want that. How much do you desire change in your life? How much do you desire to see Jesus in your life, in the way that you walk, in the way that you live out your life? We are created to reflect God's character and God's nature. In Ephesians 2:10, it says this, "For we are his workmanship." Everyone say workmanship. "Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That word workmanship is from the Greek word poiema. Poiema. Yeah. See, you're learning a lot of new Greek today. Say, thank you, Pastor. Poiema. Because Pastor just learned it this week too. And so it means a thing made. It means a thing made, a work. You know, I like what this pastor and commentator, David Guzik, says. He says this, "God saves us not merely to save us from the wrath we rightly deserve, but also to make something beautiful of us." Beautiful of us. Workmanship is a masterpiece, right? I have a cousin who's a fashion designer. And when I've seen his work, man, I'm like, whoa, bro, that is nice, right? You get to see in his artistic view, like the creativity, the handiwork of his, how his mind works, right? Because like usually I see it in his sketches stuff, and I was like, whoa, that looks mean. But then when you see the completed product of that garment, it's like, man, that is awesome, right? The workmanship that has gone into it is like truly amazing. We should be going, wow, at the workmanship of God. We should be going, wow, at the workmanship of God in our lives. Each and every one of us are a masterpiece. Each and every one of us are a product of the workmanship of God, right? We should be amazed at what God is doing and continuing to do in and through each of us. We should be able to appreciate one another's uniqueness, right? Looking through the lens of, God, you're so creative. You're so creative that you made each and every one of us in your image. So this is the second thing I want us to see here, is that we're made in the image of God. Made in the image of God. We reflect God's nature. We represent God's character. We are image bearers of God, right? You know, you think of your own kids, right? You look at, you know, at Ray's kids. Ray and Siosi's kids, they look like Ray and Siosi, right? Preferably, you know, that's all our kids. They look like us, right? But you hear people say, oh, your son looks like you, or your daughter looks like you, right? They say that of my wife, not me and my daughter, okay? But, you know, because mom and dad's seed have come together, our kids carry our DNA. And it's in that same way that we carry the DNA of God, being made in his image. So when we know whose we are, we then need to remind ourselves of why we are. Why were we created? Right? God created us to create and cultivate. Everyone say create and cultivate. So the idea that humans are made in God's image, it means that there's something special about us. There's something uniquely sacred about us, right? We were the last ones to be made in creation, okay? And God didn't just say, oh, human is good. No, he said, God, human is very good. He said, it's very good. At the end of the 6 days, he said, it's very good. So we have these qualities about us: creativity, intelligence, the sense of knowing right and wrong, being able to build relationships with people. This is through being created from God, being made in the image of God, right? And so this belief shows that every person is important. Every person is valuable. No matter what background, no matter what race, what gender we come from, we all have this connection to God, that we're made in His image. And so how should that change our perspective of how we see our fellow man and woman? How does that affect how we see each other? Do we look in that lens of like, oh, Levi is made in the image of God, so I want to honor him. I want to be nice to him because he's made in the image of God, right? How does that help us see the people around us? How? We have been given the responsibility of stewarding what God has been given to us, right? To care for God's creation. And that includes people, the people that we walk with in our families, the people in our workplaces, the people in our communities, the resources around us, right? We've been given this by God. And it's our responsibility to steward, to take care of these things from God's creation. And so I think of Moses, you know, when God placed him in the garden to lead the people of Israel, God speaks to Moses while he's working, right? And so Moses, he's working with his father-in-law, Jethro, in the land of Midian. And he's looking after his father-in-law's flock, his cattle, whatever it is, sheep, whatever it is, goats. He's looking after that. And he ends up in this place where God speaks to him from a burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. And it's here where Moses gets his calling from God to lead the people out of Egypt and into the promised land, the land that God would give them. And we all know that finally when the people were released from their captivity, from the hand of Pharaoh, it took them 40 years to get from that place to the promised land. But it should have only taken 11 days. If they had just gone straight there, it should have only taken an 11-day journey. But it took 40 years. So you think about what happened during that time. There was some gardening that was happening in God's people, even in Moses, right? Now, gardening, when I'm talking about gardening, I'm talking about there was some weeding that needed to happen, right? There was some pruning that had to happen. God was doing this over this 40-year period. This maintenance of his garden. In our own gardens, we should have this mentality that we are to work it and keep it as well. There is maintenance that we need to do in our gardens as well, right? And working it and keeping it looks like, you know, being led by the Holy Spirit to create and cultivate an environment where spiritual growth is encouraged, where community is encouraged, and it's all in the pursuit of a deeper connection with God, right? And so that may look like us speaking lovingly. It may look like us being more generous. It may mean like being kind, being gracious, being forgiving to the people around us, being patient with them. Because these are the traits, these are the qualities that we see in God. These are the qualities that we see in the life of Jesus. So have a think about this. How can I work and keep that garden? How can I continue to create and cultivate good things in the garden that I am in? Now, when I'm talking about gardens, I'm talking about your garden, your family, your communities that you are part of, your workplace, your social gardens, the people that you gather around. That's what I'm talking about in the gardens, right? And so the final thing is this. We're going to look at the difference between work as worship and work as toil. Okay, work as worship versus work as toil. So I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 3. It says, now, just to give you a bit of background, in Genesis 3, this is just after the fall, and Adam and Eve, they've eaten of the fruit, and they hide from God, and then they blame They play the blaming game with each other. And then God proclaims judgment on each of them for their actions. He proclaims judgment on the serpent, on the woman, and then the man. And in Genesis 3:17, "And to Adam he said," this is God, "because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of, cursed is the ground because of you." Wow, consequences, right? "In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. But the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And so there, work is now toil. Work is toil. The consequences of disobedience to God's command, God's one command he gave them. Don't eat of that one tree. Everything else you can eat of, but just don't touch, don't eat, don't go near that one tree. Everything got so much harder from that point onwards. Work is now going to be burdensome. Work is now going to be laborsome. There's going to be this pain and struggle in the area of doing work. God says, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread." So to do work now is going to take major effort. Whereas work as worship, it was described as good, right? It was described as good. Remembering that in creation, God created, when he created that order and structure, you know, over those 6 days, he said everything was good. It was good, right? He created the sun, moon, stars. It was good. He created the land, the seas, and the oceans. He filled it. He said it was good. All of these things are good. And so here, we see that God, what God creates is good. What God cultivates is good. We are made in the image of God. So we should resemble his character. We should resemble his creativity. We should resemble his goodness. And so when we live out of a place where we understand whose we are and why we are created, we cannot help but want to do, want to create, want to cultivate good around us. It should be there within us to do good. Yes, bring it forth, Lord. When we live out of that place where we understand whose we are and why we were created, we cannot help but want to create and cultivate in the garden that God places us in our families, in our schools, wherever God places us, to reflect God's love, to reflect God's grace, to reflect God's mercy, God's forgiveness, God's patience. This is what it is to see work as worship. Work as worship is a joy. Work as worship is intentional, right? It's about acknowledging that the work we do is a major part of us. It's not separate from us. It's not separate from God. God built it into us. And so when we set our minds and our hearts on the thought that our work is from a place of worship, that we have been created to worship. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for reminding us this morning of the purpose that you originally intended for us. That we were created to be in relationship with you. Lord, help us to carry the spirit of this truth with us as we go about our work, as we go about our daily tasks. May we see the sacred and meaningful aspects of our work, and may we approach it with dedication and with purpose, and present it to you as an offering. Help us to remember that in our vocation, we can honor you. In our classrooms, we can honor you, not just through words, but also through our actions, through our hands and the intentions of our hearts and minds. We pray for strength. We pray for patience in the work that we do. May the work that we do be a reflection of your love, your grace, your character, your nature, and your creativity in this world. Lord, we ask for your guidance that we may continually cultivate and shape the world around us. That we would not see it as just toil, as hard work, but that we would see it as a way of honoring you, as a way of worshiping you in the way that you've made, uniquely made each and every one of us. Make us responsible stewards of the precious gifts and talents that you've embedded and entrusted to each of us. May our work be a sweet offering that rises up like a sweet incense to your throne. May it be a testament of your love. May we be a testament of your love and our desire to serve you in all that we do, Father. In all that we do. So we thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.